Amen. Amen. I want to lift a passage of scripture today, Old Testament book of Judges, chapter 6. Judges chapter 6, beginning at verse number 1. Judges chapter 6, verse number 1. Amen. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because the Midianites and children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. I want to talk today from the thought there's nowhere to hide.
Yeah.
There is nowhere to hide. As a boy growing up, we didn't have a lot of toys and trinkets, especially when I was with my grandmother. In Louisiana, we didn't and could not afford toys. And so we had to be creative. We had to
make your own toys.
Thank you, Sister Lane. Make our own toys.
Yeah.
Figure out games to play to entertain ourselves. And I know the young people today don't think that there was a time when there were no PlayStations.
Yeah.
There were no video games. There were no cell phones to use. There were no iPads. You had to find ways to entertain yourselves.
That's right.
Because back then, you did not stay in the house.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Where grown folk were.
Yeah.
Right. You had to go outside and play. Maybe y'all had some parents like that. You went out and played with other children. And in the summertime, you would go out in the morning time. And you would come in at noontime for dinner. Then you would go back outside and come in the evening for supper and go back outside until it was time to take a bath and go to bed. That was your day. But we came up with games that we would play, and one of our favorite games that we played was a game called Hide and Seek, where we would, somebody would have to count 5, 10, 15, 20. 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60, 65, 70, 75, 80, 85, 90, 95, 100. Ready or not? Somebody played that game. And within the time that they were counting, you would try to find a place to hide, so that they could not find you. It was about hiding where nobody could find you. And if they found you, if they were able to tag you before you got back to home base, it was then your turn to count and find somebody. And after we played it long enough, they finally figured out most of the hiding places. And after a while, there was no place to hide. Y'all got the gist of it, don't you? And one of the things I've discovered about God is when you serve Him, God calls you to a life of being out front. That if you're going to serve the Lord, you cannot serve Him behind the scenes. God calls you to a life of being out front, that if you're going to live for him, that you've got to let the world know that I live for the Lord. He refuses to allow us to hide, not because he refuses, not because he refuses to let you hide. There's an element of risk in order to get where God wants you to be. I've come to know today that if you risk enough faith to come out, you can get a harvest. In this text, it tells us that the children of Israel went into hiding because of the pressure of the enemy. They hid in the mountain because the pressure was too great all around them. Hiding is a response to pain, a response to failure, a response to hurt. You hide when you don't want anybody to see the real you. Today, I don't know who your Midianites might be, but there's something that can happen in your life that can make you want to back up and go into hiding. There's some things that can happen to you that make you want to disappear. If you're in church but you're hiding behind your makeup, if you're in church hiding behind your booziness, you're in church but you're hiding behind your snootiness, you're hiding behind your wonderful dress, you look happy, but your happiness is just a masquerade to hide your real pain. You find a safe place where you won't be hurt anymore, where you don't have to risk anything anymore. It seems like the risk isn't worth it anymore. When the cost seems greater than the benefit, you want to back up and you determine that I'll never do that again. Is there anybody in here today that's ever said, I'll never do that again, because I've been hurt there. I've had some pain there, and I don't want to do that again. The world is filled with sisters who won't reach out anymore because they've been hurt by one too many men. Somebody in here today is not just in relationships, but failure after failure. And if you're honest with yourself, you've been shouting, praising, and singing, but you've gone into hiding. You're living in a cave. Not one of the big things now is the internet and text messaging, and it's supposed to help everybody stay connected, but it's really disconnected because it proves a point of hiding. Listen, everybody can hide, and the reason why so many people now use the internet and text messaging is because it creates a safe way for you to sit in your cave and type lies on your screen, and folk don't get to know the real you. You can be anybody you want to be on the internet. You can be anybody you want to be in a text message. Some people are hiding talent, hiding abilities, hiding the blessing you could be to somebody else, hiding from facing realities, hiding from relationships, hiding from pain. Some people are hiding out in relationships. You know it's not the right relationship God has for you, but you'd rather be with somebody than be by yourself. So you hide out in a relationship to hide the fact that you don't like yourself enough to be by yourself. The children of Israel, they were hiding in cold, dark caves, hiding separate from other people. The enemy has many of you today in hiding. You don't have any joy. You don't have any confidence. You see, the enemy has decided that if he can't take you to hell, he wants you with no joy on earth. He's decided that since you've already gave your life to the Lord, if it's inevitable that you're going to heaven, then it's his job to make your earthly life miserable. So he likes to present enough struggle in your life, enough failure in your life, that he causes you to go into hiding. And you keep yourself with other hiders who never come out and try again. All you do is hang out with other folk who are also in hiding. You settle down in a cave and you hang out with cave dwellers. Well, why are they hiding? They looked out and saw the army had outnumbered them. And when they saw the armies with their natural eye, what they saw with their natural eye caused them to come to the conclusion about what their future held. They were looking with their natural eye. They allowed what they saw with their naked eye to cause them to come to the conclusion about their future, because they didn't realize that there's a difference between facts and truth. There's a difference between facts and truth. And I'm looking at somebody in here today that is going into hiding because the enemy has stacked the odds against you. You don't have the money. You don't have the credit. Every relationship has failed you. Your child won't act right. So you've gone into hiding where you don't talk to anybody. You don't go to church anymore. You don't have anybody you can talk to. So you've gone into hiding because you don't know the difference between facts and truth. Can I tell you the difference between facts and truth? Fact is what you see, but truth is what God says. And every now and then, you've got to trust what God says, even though the facts say something different. I wish I had a witness in here. Let me show y'all. Fact says I don't have anything in my pocket but lint ball. Truth says my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. Fact says they're getting on my nerves. Truth says he'll keep your mind in perfect peace. Fact says I don't have any friend. Truth says he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Fact says I'm going down. Truth says that when I've done all I can do, stand anyhow. Is there anybody that can say I got some facts against me, but I've got the truth with me, and I'm coming out of hiding today? Is there anybody can say God didn't create me to hide, and if God is for me, he's more than the world against me? Now, the text suggests that God has a way of finding your hiding place. And that'll be somebody other than me that's glad that God has a way of intruding into your hiding place. Is there anybody other than me that's glad that God's got a spirit of imposition and refuses to let you hide? Is there anybody here that can say, if God hadn't intruded into my hiding place, I wouldn't be here today? If God hadn't intruded into my hiding place, I'd be drunk as a skunk right now. But I'm glad that God stepped into my hiding place, spoke into my spirit, and told me I was not made for hiding. Would you tell your neighbor that I'm through hiding and I'm coming out? No, that was the wrong neighbor. Turn to the other neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm through hiding. The preacher told me today that I can come out of hiding. I came to declare today that this is a season of breakthrough, your season for a breakthrough. In the text, they've been hiding for 7 years. Yeah. 7 years of oppression at the enemy. Yeah. The people of God have been under oppression for 7 years, but now it's time. That number seven stands for completion, and God wants me to tell somebody here today that it's time for you to come out of your hiding. Be what God wants you to be. Be everything God created you to be. Tell somebody, my season of crying is over. My season of whining is over. My season of being broke is over. My season of feeling sorry for myself is over. My season of hating on other people is over. I'm coming out. And you need to understand the context of this text today. You will discover that the oppression that they found themselves under was orchestrated by God. Let me show you. They are under oppression, but the oppression is orchestrated by God as a result of their disobedience. Verse number one says, they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. So they are under oppression as a result of their own choices. Their choices had arranged a situation that led them to this station in life. This caused them to be in hiding. Watch me now. But even when you make bad choices, even when you don't do what you ought to do, even when you do things that lead to consequences that cause you pain, God loves you so much that he only wants to use a season of consequence as a season of growth and revelation. And when the season is over, you're coming out as more than a conqueror. So some of us in here know that we've been in some painful seasons as a result of our own bad choices. Now, no use in trying to deny it. You know you've been stuck on stupid before. You know you've been cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and done some things that y'all not doing. Some of the stuff you did had some bad consequences. But there anybody today that can testify that God took my bad choices, put me in a season of pain, but it ended up being my development and not my detriment? Somebody ought to say, that's why the devil should have got me while he had me. Because now I'm coming out. Listen, you weren't created to hide. You weren't destined to hide. I know you made a mess of your life, but you were not made to hide, for we are more than conquerors. 7 years was just a period for God to get the people's attention and realize who they are and whose they are. It was a season of adjustment to find out what it was they should be doing to get back in the will of God. You see, when you come out of the season of adjustment, you come out standing on your own 2 feet. It will keep you from being bitter with other people because of what they wouldn't do for you. But you've discovered that, listen, you can do it for yourself.
Yeah.
I wish I had a witness in here today. Anybody discovered that some stuff you can do for yourself? When you come out, you won't be mad. You don't want you, with anybody. That doesn't help you, because when you come out, you will discover that you can get it done with you and the Lord. Three reasons you've got to come out of hiding. Number one, you can't get your harvest while you're hiding. You can't get your harvest while you're hiding. Verse 3, it says, when they came out, the enemy came after them, the Israelites, and when they had sown. The enemy does not fight you at the point of sowing, because if he fights you at the point of sowing, that contradicts his own purpose. Because if he fights you at the point of sowing, he'll have nothing to steal and devour. So he does not mess with you while you're building something. He doesn't mess with you while you're trying to get your stuff together. He'll sit back and let you work your stuff out, get your stuff together, get every I dotted, every T crossed, get your children acting sane, get your marriage back on track, get your credit straight, find the mate you've been looking for, get back in school, finally get the car you've been wanting to drive. And it's at that point, it's not until you have sown that the enemy will attack you. And about that time, when you're ready to reap the benefits of what you've been sowing, the devil steps in to drive you into hiding, because you can't harvest as long as you're hiding. Some of y'all got some blessings waiting on you right now to be harvested, but you're missing out on your blessing because you're hiding. Because right about the time the season of harvest came, the enemy showed up and ran you back into hiding. You can be in hiding and not even know it. Somebody should have just figured out why the enemy is raising so much hell in your life right now. He's trying to disrupt the blessing or the harvest you're about to receive, so he's raising hell. Listen, you've had your seed time, and now it's harvest time. You've sown into your life. You've sown into your marriage. You've sown into your children, sown into your finances, and the enemy has watched you sow, and when it comes time for payoff, the enemy comes to run you back into your cave. And I need somebody to declare today that I will not allow the enemy to reap my harvest. Whatever the Lord has for me, it is for me. That's why somebody else got your blessing. Somebody else got your job. Somebody else got your man or your woman. Because you planted it, then you ran away from it. You sweated too much. You shed too many tears. You prayed too many prayers. Paced the floor too many nights. You paid too much to back up and run. Listen, I want to talk to somebody that's tired of being on the edge of a breakthrough but never breaking through. I want to talk to someone who's tired of being on the edge of almost there, sowing but never reaping. The enemy has shown you and showed up to stop you, but what he does not know, what the enemy does not know today, is that he's showing up is really a signal to you of how close you really are. He thought he showed up to block you. He doesn't know that he showed up to show you that you're in close proximity to reaching your harvest. Because he shows up at harvest time. Tell somebody, I'm this close. And if I'm this close, ain't no way I'm turning around and miss my blessing. The size of your blessing can be seen in the size of the hell he's raising. I'm not going to finish this today, but I came by to tell somebody, you want to see how big the blessing is? Look at the size of the hell he's raising. Listen, somebody should have shouted right there, because somebody is just like Natalie Cole. You catching hell right about now. And listen, I just gave you some good news today. With all the hell I'm catching, God must have a big blessing in store for me. Is there anybody here today not ashamed to admit, Pastor, you talking to me? I've been catching hell on every side, catching hell everywhere. The Lord must have a blessing for me. Is there anybody here today not ashamed to admit I've been catching hell? But Pastor, I'm shouting now because with all the hell I've been catching, God must have a blessing. Listen, you're this close to your blessing. And because of that, Satan is trying to run you back into hiding and steal your harvest. And you're catching hell day and night, day and night. Measure your blessing by the amount of hell you're catching. Anybody in here like me that's been catching all kinds of hell? Folk lying on you, talking about you, scandalizing your name. Just hell everywhere. Everywhere you turn, it's hell. Sickness, death, trouble with your children. Am I talking to anybody in here today? But you stood strong like that tree that was planted by the waters and you refused to move. And because you stood strong and you were able to reap your harvest. Now there'll be somebody here today that's going through hell. But you've decided that whatever I got to go through to get my blessing, I'm willing to go through. Then about that decided, I will not hide any longer. I'm coming out to claim my blessing. Anybody here today know I'm this close to my blessing. And I will not allow Satan to steal my blessing. The Lord has brought me through many dangers, toil, and snares. And I've decided that whatever I've got to go through, I'm going through. I started in Jesus, and I'm going through. The road gets rough sometimes. I know the going gets tough sometimes, but I've learned how to lean and depend on Jesus. Oh, I found out that he is my friend. I don't care if you don't like me. I don't care if you don't want to be my friend, because what a friend we have in Jesus. All of our sins and griefs to bear. Oh, what a privilege it is to carry everything to the Lord in prayer. Is there anybody here know you got a friend? Is there anybody here? No, he promised never to leave me alone. Ain't he all right? Ain't the Lord all right? You ought to tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I might be a sometime friend. I might be a every now friend. But can I recommend a friend today that will stick closer than a brother? Anybody know his name? His name is Jesus. I love that name. I love that name. I called him late in the midnight hour. Won't he come and see about you? Ain't he all right? Ain't the Lord all right? Can you say glory? Can you say glory? Glory. Hallelujah. What kind of friend is that? He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me that I am his own. The joy we share. Anybody got joy? Anybody got joy? If you got joy today, you ought to stand on your feet. If you got joy today, you ought to wave your hand. If you got joy, tell your neighbor, this joy that I have, the world
didn't give it to me. The world so can't take it away. Glory. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Glory.
When the Lord wants you, there's nowhere to hide. Listen, you can hide from everybody else. You can't hide from yourself, number one. Then you can't hide from the Lord. Listen, he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. And if you're hiding today, the Lord says today is the day that you make up your mind that I'm through running, I'm through hiding. I want to be everything the Lord wants me to be. If you're here today, you can come by letter, by Christian experience. You can come as a candidate for baptism. The doors of the church open today. I don't know who you've been hiding from. I don't know what you've been hiding from. But today will be a mighty good day. Come out of your cave.
Though the storms keep on raging,
would you come?
My life. And sometimes it's hard to tell the night from day.
Oh, yeah.
Still that hope that lies within is reassured as I keep my eyes upon the distant shore. I know he'll lead me safely to that blessed place he has prepared. But if the storms don't cease, and if the wind keeps on blowing, my soul has been anchored in the Lord. Though the storms keep on raging in my life,
oh, yeah.
And sometimes it's hard to tell the night from day, still that hope that lies within is reassured.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
As I keep mine eyes upon the distant shore, I know he'll lead me safely to that blessed place he has prepared. And but if the storms don't cease, and if the wind keeps on blowing, my soul has been anchored in the Lord. Oh. that sometimes in this fight we're gonna be tossed by the waves and the current that seems so fierce. But in the Word of God, I've got an anchor. Yes, I have. It keeps me steadfast and unmovable despite the tide. But if the storms don't cease, and just in case the wind keeps on blowing in my life, my soul's been anchored in the Lord.
Well,
My soul's been anchored. The billows may roll, the breakers may dash, but I shall not sway because he holds me fast. So dark the day, clouds in the sky, I know he's all right, cause Jesus is my soul has been anchored in. Not my mama, not my daddy, not my sister, not my brother is anchored in the Lord.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. God, we thank you today for your preached word. God, we thank you for opening the mysteries of the scripture and revealing new truths. Now, God, there may be somebody here today say, preacher, you were talking to me. I've been hiding. I've been masquerading. I've allowed the enemy to run me back into hiding. But today, I want to come out. I want to get back to being myself. Get back to being the real me. If that's you today, would you elevate your hand? God bless you. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Somebody else says, preacher, you were talking to me. Preacher, I've been catching so much hell. Nothing seems to be going right for me in my life. Running from my past, running from those in my past. But you told me today that I must be on the verge of a big blessing. And preach, I just want the Lord to help me to keep the faith so that I can reap my harvest. If that's you today, would you elevate your hand? Finally, somebody says, preacher, I made up my mind. I'm going to step out for the Lord today. I'm tired of pretending and trying to be somebody that I'm not. I'm ready to be whatever the Lord wants me to be. That's you today. Would you elevate your hand? If the Spirit is speaking to you today, you can come out today. Nobody's going to judge you. Nobody's going to think hard of you. Would you come?